Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Alive with Spirits, The Path and Practice of Animistic Witchcraft by Althea Sebastiani. Narrated by Leslie Howard. This book contains advice and information relating to spells, rituals, and exercises, and is not meant to diagnose, treat, or prescribe. The exercises are for information only and should not be practiced by anyone without proper training. If you know or suspect you have a medical condition, are experiencing physical symptoms, or if you feel unwell, seek your physician's advice before practicing the exercises in this book. Listeners using the information in this book do so entirely at their own risk, and the author and publisher accept no liability if adverse effects are caused. Introduction. What is life as a witch but an unfolding conversation? But an experience of becoming more and more entangled with the land. In many ways, the practice of witchcraft exists as an interplay between ourselves and the land, a term to denote the intersection of the physical world and the very real spirits that call the land home. Witchcraft exists within that connection, enlivened by it, and made something that is capable of reaching out and taking hold of us as strongly as we reach out and dare try to wrap our hands about it. A land-based approach to witchcraft is necessarily grounded in relationship with the land, yet not in a way that is founded on archetypes and objectification, but in awareness and acknowledgement that our world is so very much larger than we may have been led to believe, that it is filled with a greater variety of people than we may have yet encountered. This awareness is encompassed by the worldview known as animism. Within the context of contemporary witchcraft, animism is the definitive influence behind a land-based approach. It provides structure for practice that is rooted in relationship with physicality, both of the land and of ourselves. It affords us a sense of connection to something larger than ourselves that is gained through an understanding of community that includes individual spirits as much as it includes other humans. For this reason, animist witchcraft demands an intimacy with life itself, urging us to confront the many influences we carry that keep holding us back and living in such a way as to maintain separation between ourselves and the land, between ourselves and each other. And yet many obstacles exist to us. Animism is the oldest known worldview among humankind, flourishing throughout the world and throughout history. Although it is still quite prevalent, the obstacles many of us face in embodying animism are actively maintained by Euro-American society, a term that encompasses what might also be termed Western society, and thus includes those countries shaped and defined by colonial thinking. These countries tend to also be structured around systems that actively work to discourage the community-based understanding of the world espoused by animism, and instead encourage us to believe we are separate from each other, separate from the land, and that our survival is dependent upon competition rather than community, connection, and obligation to each other. As such, the dominant worldview of Euro-American society has frequently destroyed animist societies from the inside out, resulting in consequences that we all live through in different ways. For some of us, that means unlearning to think of our experiences and perspectives as universal and the default for all people. For others, it means discovering that there is a potential way of being in the world that matches what we knew to be true, but couldn't find the words to describe. And for others still, it means finding new ways to hold on to the beauty of what persisted within our own families and cultures, despite the efforts of these systems of power. In many ways, this book is a handbook for ascendance, for sinking oneself deeper into the land, into physicality, into the wonder that is life and living, and for building deep relationships with the many spirits with whom we share this world. It is a means of support while working to actively peel back the layers of overculture, meaning the dominant culture in a society, influence that keep us searching for connection, yet unable to find and hold on to it. It is a source of guidance to discover the layering of spirit world and physical world, how that same layering is present within us, and how embracing the existence of that layering can help us to discover wholeness within the land and ourselves. It is a reminder of a worldview that exists as the birthright of humanity, that is available to us to reclaim, and that holds true potential for us to forge intimate relationships with the land and its spirits. As demonstration of that potential, much of the guidance contained in this book is directly born of Spirit Whisper. It is grounded in lived experience, in conversations with oak trees that hold the meadow clear and shady with the expanse of their branches, in realizations had while watching trolls fish on the other side of a mountain stream, in moonlit walks surrounded by laughing coyotes, in the smiles of family members lined with age, recognizing when reminders of proper etiquette with farm spirits were no longer needed. There are energy exercises in this book, literally taught to me by spirits who linger in the shadows of trees, their whispers filtered through an awareness of self and a collection of experiences that allow for the skills necessary for similar conversations and experiences to be taught to others. Likewise, the concept of community and its importance, a value stressed throughout this book, comes from my experience of being raised in a collectivist culture. In this culture, community wasn't something that we worked toward, but something woven so deeply into life that it wouldn't be until I was a young adult that I would realize that not everyone's families operated that way. So, while this book is, in so many ways, a guide to help you discover your own potential for a witchcraft defined by relationship with the land, it is also a compilation of my personal experiences, of insight and expertise gleaned through learning witchcraft directly from spirits, through a lifetime spent in rural and remote places, through being part of a minoritized ethnic group, and navigating the incompatibilities between family culture and overculture. These are influences that I carry with me and that define how I approach, teach, and write about witchcraft and animism. And while that means there are times when this approach will irreconcilably crash headfirst into forms of witchcraft with which many of us are familiar, I can say with full confidence that means of navigating the incompatibility not only exist, but are also achievable. This is why there's been an attempt to be radically inclusive. There is a lot of consideration throughout the book. The repetition, defining of terms, section recaps, final notes, disclaimers and exercises, noting how long exercises take, exercise outlines, that are all accommodations for the neurodivergent, the disabled, and other marginalized populations. With hope, this book will help you uncover what that navigation might look like for you. Lesson 1. Witchcraft and Worldview. In every moment, you exist as one being in a world thrumming and alive with spirits. Though you may sit alone, listening to these words, the potential for connection that exists to you right now, with innumerable beings that you encounter every day, who are near to you even in this moment, is striking. There is no tool nor special power needed for you to establish that connection and to begin building relationships with any of these spirit beings. Rather, the ability to be aware of the presence of these spirits is open to everyone. It is intrinsic to what it means to be human, as natural as our need to reach out for each other, to build relationships and form community. Animism is the oldest known worldview, a way of seeing the world that extends belonging and community to the non-human people with whom we share the earth. Throughout the course of this book, we will work together to peel back the layers that occlude our awareness of these spirit beings, an occlusion impressed upon us by a society focused on individualism to such an extent that it leaves us feeling separated and alone. You'll discover firsthand that connection to something more, to the other world, and to the spirits with whom you share your home and share the land, is very possible. By focusing on what it means to be in right relationship with others, this book will help you to further seat yourself in the web of connection, affording you a greater sense of support from and wholeness within the world. But before we get too deep, as a worldview, animism belongs to no single religion, ethnic group, or culture. It is the oldest known worldview among humans and can be found throughout the world. As a term, animism was coined by Sir Edward Burnett Tylor in Primitive Culture, which has all the problems one would expect of a work published in 1871, such as racist views toward indigenous people and a repugnant attitude toward non-Christian religion. His work was highly influential and helped solidify the standard of viewing indigenous and non-Christian religions as scholarly curiosities, to be studied, extracted, and presented by elite white people for acclaim. This attitude continues to not only be widespread, but also the default in academia, and is thus replicated in circles where one would expect otherwise, such as various non-Christian spiritual communities. As witches seeking to reclaim our connection to the land and its spirits, we can do better. In presenting a form of animism that is firmly rooted within contemporary witchcraft, it is important to distinguish that this animism does not come from nor is influenced by any indigenous culture. Rather, the animism found within this book is based on my personal experience as a spirit-led witch, experience that stretches across nearly 3 decades and is predominantly influenced by direct interactions with a wide range of spirits, many of whose words, teachings, and techniques have directly contributed to the material you now are listening to. As such, the animism herein can and will differ from other animisms, as the filtering of this worldview through a cultural context absolutely alters significant details, such as the nature of and qualifications for personhood, as we'll delve into in Lesson 3, A World Alive with Spirits. We will be approaching personhood in an expansive way, erasing the degree of separation among human spirits and the unknown in a way that those spirits who helped shape this material would find most pleasing. With this expansive definition of personhood, we also help combat the academic view of animism, a view that keeps it impersonal and largely a thought experiment rather than lived. What is witchcraft? Witchcraft, as it is commonly known and practiced, is a contemporary magical system rooted in European folk magic practices. The ambiguity of the word European is unfortunately accurate in this context, as modern witchcraft, with incredibly few exceptions, does not exist as a continuation of practice of any specific people's folk magic. Rather, it is largely reimagined and innovated, something altogether new. It is a method of inspiriting the folkloric essence into the context of contemporary Western culture in a way that helps us to feel more connected to the physical world and to each other. Because of this, witchcraft is a spiritual practice with a clearly determinable history that stretches backward only several decades, and as such is easily traced and has been extensively documented. While tracing that history, however briefly, is outside the scope of this book, it is enough for us to emphasize that A, witchcraft is not ancient, B, witchcraft is not the continued practice of any indigenous European people, and C, because it is wholly modern, witchcraft is open to everyone, regardless of cultural background. If you feel the call to witchcraft, you belong here, and no one can tell you otherwise. In holding to a definition of witchcraft that refers specifically to a contemporary practice with a documented history, the distinction between it and two commonly conflated terms warrants examination. These terms are folk magic and witchcraft in the historical accusatory usage. Folk magic is a body of information relative to the common people of a specific region that relates to spiritual beliefs, superstitions, customs, and the position that people hold within the local land, as well as those practices utilized to better help the individual and their community navigate that position, be in right relationship with the land and its spirits, and otherwise better their position in life. What truly defines folk magic is its folk, the specific ethnic group that holds those beliefs and practices, and who maintain those beliefs and practices as part of their living culture. One can read about a culture in which they were not raised, but that doesn't make them a part of that community. It doesn't make them part of the folk. And so, despite taking inspiration from the folk magic of various European ethnic groups, sometimes quite liberally, this doesn't make those folk magic practices witchcraft. This is especially true when you consider that many of these folk magic practices have existed in some form for far longer than contemporary witchcraft. These practices originated and operate within a thoroughly Christianized context, whereas contemporary witchcraft exists as a part of the pagan religious movement. And the people of these ethnic groups would likely be appalled to be referred to as witches, especially true the further back you go in time, or if any of these ethnic groups were historically accused of being witches as part of ongoing stigma against them. Attempted imitation based in inspiration, regardless of how respectfully conducted, does not mean that one belongs to the community from which that practice originates. Likewise, it also does not mean an unbroken line of practice in regard to folkloric practices from a specific point in time. The attempt to revive folk magic practices no longer practiced within its originating ethnic group, based on historical accounts, within a contemporary witchcraft context, does not make those practices witchcraft. And it does not mean that we can trace a continuous line of witchcraft going back a few hundred years, not without great intellectual dishonesty. This absolutely includes those bits and pieces that have been gleaned from historical accounts of the witch trials. Contemporary witchcraft has no direct connection to historical accusatory witchcraft. The contexts surrounding the use of the words witch and witchcraft are so different between the two that they may as well be using different words altogether. This quickly becomes obvious in considering the socio-political and religious climate of the time, and that no one who was tried as a witch would have ever referred to themselves as such. The term referred more so to a supernatural being than a living human. Accusations were frequently the result of interpersonal drama and scapegoating, not because the accused was doing anything that would resemble our own concepts of magic and witchcraft. That there were folk magic practitioners who had their own names for their craft, who existed in these time periods, and who had practices we find inspiring and imagine to be similar to our own practices, does not mean that these practitioners were witches, or that we should be foisting such a label onto them. As a practice, witchcraft demands an intimacy with our lives. It requires us to know who we are, where we live, and who lives there with us. This is part of the defining flavor of this practice. Witchcraft prizes the physical, whether that be the physical world, our physical bodies, or the physical tools and objects so prevalent within this craft. There are other aspects that define this craft too, in addition to its irrevocable embracing of the physical. In differentiating witchcraft from the numerous other magical systems that exist, we can point to five distinct traits. These traits are animism, divination, the land, ritual, and spirit work. Animism. This is the foundational worldview of contemporary witchcraft, the essence that infuses all other traits, the context that determines how action is taken. At the most fundamental level, animism is the belief that everything holds a spirit with whom you can communicate and interact. But as you'll explore throughout this book, that definition doesn't begin to scratch the surface. There is a depth to animism that quickly becomes the water in which you swim, the air you breathe, the beating of the heart inside your chest. Although discussion of animism within the general magical community has become more common in recent years, animism is the oldest and most pervasive worldview among humans. It can be found across the planet, throughout time, and among innumerable cultures. It is important to understand, however, that animism is not a religion, nor is it something that can be practiced. Rather, animism is a worldview, an all-encompassing way of being that affects not just your spiritual practice, but also the way that you live your life. It's also important to understand that animism is expressed differently within different cultural contexts. So the animism that is found within and expressed through witchcraft differs from the animism expressed through various indigenous cultures, and the animism expressed through those individual indigenous cultures will very likely differ from each other too. This does not mean that anyone is doing animism wrong, but rather is an acknowledgement that worldviews are shared and that specific cultural contexts mean the actions taken based upon a shared worldview will be different because different religions are different and different cultures are different. These differences are a good thing. Diversity is the natural state of our world. Divination. Of these five traits that together and not individually constitute witchcraft, perhaps the clearest example is divination. Divination is any variety of methods of gathering information, through the use of spiritual skills to analyze and interpret spiritual forces that are reliant upon the use of physical objects. This means that successful, that is, accurate and precise use of divination is dependent upon the cultivation and honing of skill in order to sense and interpret energy, spiritual forces, and or sense and communicate with spiritual beings. There is no single divination modality that is common among witches. Likewise, there is no single divination method that you must know and practice in order to be a witch. To put that another way, you can be a witch and never touch a tarot deck. What all divination methods have in common is that they rely on random variables in order to essentially take a snapshot of the energy currents surrounding a person, situation, or both as they presently exist or as they exist in the future, based upon the way things are at this present moment. The ways in which each divination modality achieves their results is how those methods differ, and also why each method has its own strengths and limitations. This is why it's good to be familiar with multiple divination systems. We see animism present in divination in the way that divination so very often is a conversation between the witch and spirits, with various divination tools used as mediaries for conversations with gods, ancestors, and other spirits. We also see how some divination methods are dependent upon a strong relationship with spirits, such as throwing the bones. This is distinct from methods of divination that rely upon interpretation, whether intuitively or logically, as the primary means of interpreting the information attained during divining. The land. With purposeful capitalization, the land refers to the intersection of the physical world with the spirits that inhabit it, particularly those spirits who would be termed as land spirits. It is this intersection from which witchcraft is born, rising up as a whisper that calls and sings to those who would dare to see how much more there is to the world than they've been told. It is the conjoined forces of physicality and spirituality, the unique expression of being that is possible only within the container of physicality and with the vast potential of being that exists without it. It is the form that holds the liminal, the doorway through which we step and that upon which we walk as we pass through it. It is the wholeness that consumes once we dissolve the idea of separation that exists between the physical world and the spirit world, between our physical bodies and our spirit bodies. It is the connection that binds all to all. When we speak of land spirits, it is individual beings, people like you and me, to whom we are referring. It is the whispers of these people that guide and shape this craft. It is from them that we can learn the entirety of witchcraft, whether that be methods for protecting ourselves, what herbs to use to purify our homes, or even techniques for calling and communicating with the dead. And it is in them that we can discover powerful allies, trusted companions, and warm friends. There is no witchcraft without the land. It is the force behind our magic, the objects and tools we use within our spells. It is our anchor, our sustainer, the very source of witchcraft. Ritual. In defining magic as the action of utilizing spiritual forces to create change, ritual is any series of steps that can be repeated in order to consistently achieve similar results. When you carefully harvest herbs in the early morning, stripping leaf from stem before drying them in a cool, dark place with good airflow, and then tuck them away in a tight sealing jar and hide them from the sun's kiss, you are performing a ritual for the sake of obtaining high-quality herb matter. When selecting the materials that you'll use for a spell, those materials are chosen based on the nature of their indwelling spirits and the compatibility that exists among those spirits, knowing that nature is possible only through relationship with each spirit. This adds another step to the process of casting the spell, creating a ritual founded in animism as you connect with, for example, the unique spirit of a rosebush outside your home, who, contrary to every correspondence list you can find, insists you cut this branch and burn the leaves to calm yourself and facilitate sympathy between you and other spirits. Ritual is the basic structure of what you do, shaping the how of your magic, and providing you a reliable and replicable course of action to take in response to various situations in which you'll find yourself as a witch. Ritual includes the foundational process behind casting a spell as much as it does the etiquette you follow when interacting with spirits or journeying to the other world. Ritual is the familiarity in practice that brings comfort and results. Spirit work. Spirit work describes the nature of how the witch embodies their craft. It is animism in action, the ways in which we acknowledge the existence of the very many spirit people with whom we share the world, and how we build relationships with them in the context of witchcraft. Spirit work is a broad term that refers to the interactions and relationships you have with spirits, as well as the skills that are necessary to have those interactions, build those relationships, and support yourself in that work. Despite its ability to be a part of numerous magical systems, spirit work is so integral to witchcraft that if you were to remove it, what you would be left with would not be recognizable as witchcraft from a historical, traditional, or even folkloric stance. The two are so inextricably entwined that there are few aspects of witchcraft that do not include spirits in some way. If it feels as if something is missing from your witchcraft practice, that missing piece is nearly always spirit work, and more specifically, personal relationships with spirits. We are not meant to be alone, and this is as true for us as living humans who need companionship and the support of community for our very own survival, as it is for us as witches, who only ever discover just how much we are capable of and how much is possible in this craft once we are allied with a handful of spirits. Through practice and application. As a practice, witchcraft is a toolkit for experiencing the world more fully for what it is and for more effectively operating within the reality it reveals to us. It provides us with a collection of skills and techniques whose use is guided by worldview, as worldview shapes the hows and whys of our actions. These skills not only help us to navigate the reality of living in a world filled with spirits and where changing energy currents influence our lives, but are also the foundation of how we work magic within this system. It's important to note that skills can only be learned. One can be born with proclivity, the tendency to gravitate toward a certain activity or practice, but no one is born with skills. Your ability as a witch comes down entirely to the strength of your skills, and those skills must be deliberately cultivated and honed. The idea of gifts is a myth that creates division and a false sense of superiority, both of which stand in opposition to animism and are already far too prevalent within the witchcraft community. There is nothing innate to witchcraft that is sprinkled across humanity, appearing in some people but not others. The popular young adult literary theme of the chosen one remains an element of fiction and rooted in a worldview that is behind the rampant hyper-individualism that has fostered such a strong sense of separation between us and the land, between us and each other. The only way to be a witch is to practice witchcraft. That is the
sample complete. Ready to continue?